Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Come on, put your hands together for the last time. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter number 19 as we stand for the reading of God's word. If it's here, I'll be asking an opaint, you know. If it's in a honey, I can kind. We are here to say amen. We want to read from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 1 to 8. 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 1 to 8. Praise God. Are there exceptional people in the house? Are you sure about that? Yeah. Can you help me read? If you have your Bibles, you can go through it. If you don't have it yet, you can go on the screen as we read from 1 to 8. At a point, I will stop and then you will continue. Now, let's go. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with sword. Now continue. Three. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. Continue. Verse number 4, 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Verse 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Verse number 7, continue. Verse number 8, the last verse. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Hallelujah. Father, once again, we are grateful to you. We thank you for such great and enormous blessings. It's so overwhelming. It's so great. It's so wonderful. The things you have done for us, money cannot buy. No human understanding can comprehend how you brought us through. Many were they that said that we couldn't make it. Many were they that mocked us. Many were they that walked over us. But we thank you this morning that you have brought us to a worthy place. Through thick and thin, through the difficulties, the pain, the perplexities, and the vicissitudes, you made life possible. We stand here on the threshold of a new year, and we thank you for every grace that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you that your loving kindness, your tender mercies are new every morning. They are new this year also unto us. We thank you for putting a new song in our mouth, a song of praise even unto our God. This morning we have come so that we will hear from you, that you will give us a word in season, a word that you have prepared, baked from the ovens of heaven. We pray this morning that, oh God, everyone that hears your word would be blessed because you are speaking to them. Holy Spirit, engage my mind, my soul, my vocal cord. Let me articulate your word, not as I understand it, but as your will is for your people this morning. Give us clarity and let there be light as your word comes. In Jesus, the blessed name. And I want everybody to shout a big amen.
Amen.
Tap somebody and say that, rise and eat. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Arise and eat. Arise and eat. Come on, say to another person, arise and eat. Oh, sorry, Nezizi. Sorry, Nezizi. Come on. Ezibana. Tap somebody and say, Ezibana. Arise and eat. Rise and eat. Everybody find a place as the word of God is coming. Touch another person and say, rise and eat. We thank God for a brand new year. I'm so excited for the things that God has done. It is not everybody that was able to make it, though we wish that everybody had made it this year. We have friends, we have loved ones, we have people we know that could not be found even now in the new year. But what makes them different from us? Probably, it's not because of our wellness or how well we can behave and do things and how good we are, but we are here today because some way, somehow, God spared our lives. He spared us. He spared us. Because the things that we did could have incarcerated us into the dungeon of death. Most of the acts that we did couldn't have brought us this far. But just as the psalmist says, that morning by morning, new mercies we see. We rise up every morning to embrace the mercies of God concerning our lives. It's something we don't work for, something we don't pray for. But God says, I renew my commitment to take care of your weaknesses every morning. I renew my commitment with you to take care of your inabilities every morning. I renew my commitment with you to make you clean again. I start you on a clean slate. So is every year when God brings us into. Like every day, He also brings us into every new year on a clean slate. Hallelujah. Forgetting that the things that are behind, Paul said that I press towards the mark for the prize of the higher calling. It means that God is not only the God of yesterday, but He's also the God of today. And more importantly, He's the God of tomorrow. Because the most important thing about life is to know what is tomorrow holds. We are confused and perplexed and we are terrified in most of times because we can't predict tomorrow. But thanks be to God that we serve a God who holds tomorrow. When the sea is raging and then the lands are overflowing and there's earthquake and there's so much chaos and confusion, we still know the one who holds tomorrow. I've heard people this morning. So it doesn't matter what this year holds for, there's a one that holds your 2019. Oh, I came to encourage somebody. Somebody come alive with me. There's someone who is in control of your boat. He's in control of your ship. And He's driving you into a safe land. It doesn't matter the storms that you are experiencing. He's still driving you. Oh, He's still taking care of you. He's right there. He's the captain of your destiny. If you have a right captain in the boat, then I think that you are safe. You are safe. You are safe. Because this is a captain that will not allow any evil to come near your dwelling. This is a captain that is ordained to prepare your life for greater heights and greater destiny. And that is why I know that this year shall be a glorious year for you. Because there is a captain of your destiny, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. He is in control of the universe. It doesn't matter what comes your way, He is in control. I said He is in control. So when we come to a year like this, we celebrate and we thank Him for what he has done and what he is here to do. And that is why we are here this morning, and that is why our spirit is so much overwhelmed, and that is why we feel blessed among many people. And every year when God brings us into, he gives us a word. He gives us a word. He gives us a word. God gives us a word. God always speaks. He doesn't just bring his people into a new year without a word that will guide them and lead them to the place that he wants them to be. Anytime God brings you into a new season, he guides you with his word. Somebody this year is being guided by the word of our Lord. You are not left alone. You are not left alone. Tell about three people around you. You are not left alone. God is guiding you through his word. He's leading you via his word. Oh, I tell another person, he's leading you via his word. Because the word of God in you is what creates the value in you. Can I push this? The word of God in you is what creates the value in you. You are made valuable because you carry something valuable. And the word of God is much valuable than gold. It is much valuable than the most precious ornament, the word of God. So the word of God in you, when God speaks a word upon your life, it creates your value. It creates your value. And this year, God says that it is your year of exceptionalism. Can I change year now? It is your year of what? Exceptionalism. Exceptionalism. Exceptionalism simply means to have the qualities of being outstanding and different among the crowd and among the people, among where you come from and among where you stay and among what you do to bring you out of the lot is actually divine selection, that God pinpoints you out of the situation and out of the confrontations and the perplexities in which you find yourself. It doesn't matter who you are. When God lays his hands on you, he makes you exceptional. And the word of God he placed upon you is what creates the value and makes you exceptional. As the word of God is coming this morning, and even as God has already spoken over your life and destiny, may that word create in you the value that will attract many people and that will cause people to turn their minds and change what they think concerning you. I speak to people who are going to experience massive atmosphere of God's blessings in and around them, whereby it will cause men to change their perspective of them. And I pray that you become one of them. So even as God has spoken that it is your year of exceptionalism, there's a need for us to understand and to know what it means to be exceptional, so that we can walk therein and be able to know what exactly God is speaking to us. Amen. And I thank God that when God speaks, it is final. When God speaks, it is final. When God speaks, because anytime God speaks, he doesn't speak out of emptiness, but he speaks out of his infinite wisdom of creativity. So you may not be as what God is saying even before he said it, but as the word of God comes to your life, it creates in you that which he speaks. The Bible says he spoke to be the things that be not as though they were. You may not be near exceptionalism. You may be looked down upon. You may be trampled on. You may actually have been a doormat where people have to walk over. You have always been a victim of situation and circumstance. People have relegated you to the background, to the extent that they can't see any good thing coming out of your life. But God came to tell you that as the word of God has come to you, is creating in you that be not the things that are not existing. Even as the word of God is hitting you, is bringing something inside of you that will cause men to change their mind and their perspective about you. And I hear a sound in my spirit where somebody is being spoken to and asked, is not this, Joseph's son. My God, can I push this, somebody? It's not this Joseph's son simply means that we know you to be the son of Joseph. We know you to be a son of Joseph. And the best thing that sons of Joseph can do, how many of you know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters? And it's possible that they all were going through the same trade, because once you start growing up, they expect you to go and swing hammer and drive nails. And that is the best profession, the best thing that anybody can do. If you are a Joseph's son, or if you're coming from Nazareth, there is nothing good that can come out of your life. And that has been the perception and the perspective of the people. Whenever they see somebody coming from Nazareth, the other day Nathaniel also said that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That should tell you the extent of depravity and the degradation that people placed on people that come from Nazareth. Are there people coming from Nazareth? Oh yes, yes, don't deny it. Yes, I come from Nazareth, but I might not be of Nazareth. Are there people who have traveled through 2018, and it's possible your 2018 was so much difficult, was so much hard, that nothing worked for you, nothing worked for you. But here you are in 2019 and still thinking like 2018, because just as it's happened in 2018, you think that it will still happen to you in 2019. I came to tell you, God actually told me to come and tell you that the odds are changing and there is a shift on your behalf. Oh my God, if you have a right perspective of thinking and begin to know that once God has brought me out of it, then I'm not of it. I'm not of it. I may have gone through it. I may have stayed through it. Certain things may have come my way, but I am not of it. God has brought me out of 2018, the difficulties, the perplexities, and the vexatitude, and he has brought me into a new year. So I may come from there, but I am not of it. Am I speaking to somebody? Is somebody here with me? Follow me and you understand. Even as we are talking about yourself, it is possible that the way people saw you in 2018 would also mean that they will put the same lenses on you and begin to see you in 2019. They would despise you and look down upon you. Even though you could not make it in 2018, they are not expecting any good thing coming out of you in 2019. But I came with the word of a Lord, and I came to inspire somebody. I came to let you know that you may have come from Nazareth, but you are not of Nazareth. You may be of Joseph's son, but you are not of Joseph's son. Are there people here? Give the Lord a mighty shout. Oh, come on, shout unto God. Because the fact that I went through something doesn't mean that I am of it. It may have happened to me by accident, but here I am. I'm stepping out of it. I'm breaking the mold. I'm coming out of it. I will not be confined by the imagination of your thinking. You may have thought evil about me, but God is turning it for you, my good. Oh, come on, can I preach somebody? I may have a low background and a weaker background. I may not have a degree like the thermometer. I may not have gone to school. I may not have had that which you possess. But I see the favor of God, the grace of God coming upon me. I've seen people who have never been to school, but God has made them great. I've seen people who didn't have anybody to help them, but God is making them great. This year is your year of greatness. It is your year of exceptionalism. God actually is pinpointing somebody in the crowd and making you great, irrespective of who you are. It doesn't matter what has happened to you. Everything is turning for your good. Can I preach to the church right now? Yes. Whenever the word of God comes, it comes to create that which is not. It comes to create that which is not. They said in their minds, when they began to see great things happening, when Jesus started speaking with great wisdom and dexterities, and then he was speaking with such power and brevity and such profundity, the Bible said that all their eyes were fastened on him and they were shocked. I came to tell you, you'll be a shock to the world. That is weak. I said, you'll be a shock to the world. Can I push this further? You will be a shock to the world. I said, you will be a shock to the world. I said, you will be a shock to the world. You will never remain where you are. You are moving forward. I see you stepping ahead. I see you moving ahead. In the name of Jesus, can I prophesy? Whoa. It's not this. Joseph's son. It means Joseph's son is not expected to be successful. That is what. Sometimes, if you don't know, let me tell you. You may walk with people, have friends, have loved ones, and you may think they love you and you love them. But in all their mentality, is that no. As for him, it's not so amazing that whenever any good news come out of your life, people become like, hey. Sir, hey. The way your banner say, I came to prophesy. The Bible makes it clear that God has taken that which is foolishness of the world and is confounding the wise. God is picking that which is rejected, that which no one is looking after or seeking for. That is the one God is taking in order to shame the proud. This morning, you are a destiny for success. You are a candidate to be a servant. Some of us are privileged to have a little leverage because you are not coming some way, somehow from Nazareth. No. You had a little privilege of going to school. Some of you comparing your life to Jesus, yours is far better. But I came to tell you that if Jesus was able to rise up from the dungeons and from the negative perception, I wonder, and I was beginning to think, why Jesus could not do mighty works. He actually asked him, do the things that you are hearing you doing. We hear you do miracles, you do wonders. Hey, you are doing things, but we are not seeing the things you do right here in your hometown. And Jesus told them that a prophet is not what? Accepted or received in his own hometown. And the Bible says that he could not do mighty works because of their unbelief. The word unbelief is not that they didn't believe the words he spoke, but they had bad perception about him. Who is he? Obadabe. Onusufri. Onewai. And Nedia. Ah, go for see that on us busy be. Na edien or war. And then so that came. Is that not what we hear? If you don't hear, they say it. Let me tell you, whether you hear it or not, they say it. On us anyway. Yeah, watch that today. Ufre here by. Obadabe. These are the words that kills great destinies and great miracles. Because of these words, Jesus, who is even God, could not perform miracles. So when these words are spoken to you, as for you, they kills you. It actually kills your demeanor. It dampens your spirit. It actually breaks you down from doing anything better with your life. I don't know who I came for this morning, but these are the generation of them that seek God. These are the people who stand like Jesus told them to hell with how you think of me. To hell with your opinion and your perception. I may be raised by Joseph, but I'm not Joseph's son. I am the son of the living. Can I push this? Anywhere that Jesus would associate himself as the son of God, then the people would want to stone him. All through scriptures, they did not stone him because he did miracles. They didn't stone him because he has raised the dead or done something. But any time Jesus said that God is my Father, they said that he has blasphemed. How dare you say God is your Father? When people are able to attack your source, then they can destroy you. If you don't know your source, then you can easily be destroyed. Jesus always knew how to connect to his source. It's true, Joseph became a conduit. Joseph and Mary were just a conduit. They were just a means through which Jesus came to the earth. But in the actual fact, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Is somebody understanding me? Some of us are assuming to have certain lineage, and there are times we pride ourselves with such lineage, and we think that so long as we are coming from this lineage, then it means that it's well with us. Jesus knew that though he came through Joseph and Mary, but he is not Joseph's son. He is the son. Today, the first thing I want you to understand and know, whose son are you? It is the first point of being exceptional. Knowing who you are and whose you are. Is somebody here with me? So the question is, are you Joseph's son or not? What is the answer? No, are you Joseph's son? No, are you Joseph's son? I'm not Joseph's son. I may be raised by Joseph, but I'm not Joseph's son. This morning, you still need to answer the question. Whether in 2019, you are going to remain as Joseph's son, or you're going to remain as the son of the living God. Remember, the moment you accept to be a Joseph's son, you are limited by the limitation of where Joseph comes from. You will never rise up out of Nazareth, because everyone who came out of Nazareth couldn't rise up to a certain level in life. The Bible says that he that is born of the flesh is of the flesh. But he that is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. He said, I marvel not that I tell you this, that you must be born again. Oh my God, can I push this? Everybody who has come to accept Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, you have two births. You have your natural birth and your spiritual birth. Your natural birth may be a birth that may have come from the womb of Mary or the loins of Joseph. Is somebody here with me? And your spiritual bed is the bed that was born out of the spirit. God is a spirit, and when God is giving birth to you, he gives birth to your spirit. So he said that he that is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is of all the spirit. For he said that the wind that bloweth where it listed. In other words, the wind bloweth where it lies. It goes anywhere. I'm trying to explain, those who are born by the spirit, they are like a wind. Shout, I am like a wind. Can I push this further? And because you are like a wind, people cannot determine where you are coming from, neither can they tell where you are going. And the good thing is that they can only feel your presence. And sometimes God hides you. He hides your beginning. And sometimes he doesn't want people to know where you are coming from, but they can only feel your impact here on earth. They that are born by the Spirit are like a wind. And this year, God wants me to tell you that you operate as such. People will just feel your impact. They will not know where you are coming from. They will not know where you are going, but they will just feel your impact. Jesus knew who he was. This morning I charge you that you are the Son of the living God. You are born by God. You are born by God. There is the DNA of God in you. You carry his DNA in your spirit. I cannot be Joseph's son. I cannot be Joseph's son. I cannot become a tap somebody and say, you can't be Joseph's son. Oh, come on. How many of you understand where I'm going? You cannot be Joseph's son. Come on, tap another person. I said, you cannot. Yeah, you are more than Joseph's son. You carry something in you that makes you greater than Joseph's son. I am greater. Are there people here? You are greater than your troubles. You are greater than your challenges. You are greater than your failures. You are greater than your limitations. Let me tell you something. Natural men are limited by natural limitations. Are there people here? So if you only believe you are a Joseph's son, that means that you were born by your father and your mother on earth. Or maybe so and so is your father. Maybe so and so is your mother. And that is all that you are living with your mentality. Then you cannot go beyond your father. Neither can you go beyond your mother. As a matter of fact, where they ended will also be your stopping point. Because natural men are limited by natural limitations. But I came to tell you, you are not a natural man. Oh, come on. I said, you are not a natural man. Can I push this? You are not a natural man. You are a spirit being. And spirit beings cannot be limited by natural limitations. And there are people here shout, I am exceptional. You don't know what you're talking about. If you knew, you would have shouted it louder. I am exceptional. I am exceptional. I am born of God. I carry the spirit of God within me. I'm a child of the living God. I cannot compare myself with anybody. I am unique. I am blessed. I am favored. I am outstanding. I have great qualities. I'm moving forward. Nothing can stop me. This year is my year of exceptionalism. Let exceptional people make a joyful noise now. Is somebody here with me? Jesus could not be limited. He could not be limited. How dare you? Listen, if you don't take care, you know, people's opinion can deny you your greatest blessing. How people think of you is even enough to stagnate your life. There are many of you who may have come from certain backgrounds and certain, even the worst of your own parents, have retarded your life. There are certain things they said without understanding, and that has brought you to where you are now. But we came, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, we are breaking free from anywhere that was spoken over our lives, anywhere that was spoken against us, anywhere that was spoken even behind us. We break free from the mold. We break free from their thinking. We break free. Some of you, because you failed in certain examination, nobody thought anything good could come out of you. Let me tell you, exceptional people are mainly people who failed and didn't see failure as a problem, but then saw failure as an option. So if you're here, maybe the year 2018 was full of failures, full of disappointments, and you think that that is how things are going to be, then I came to tell you, it is time to embrace the word of the Lord to create a value in you and to make you exceptional. Are there exceptional people here? Jesus didn't live in the lineage and the kind of lifestyle that his ancestors had to live in. Because everybody that came through that lineage were perceived to be something else. I was telling them yesterday at the CTG that is it possible that we have a problem as Ghanaians? That we love to praise those in the past and those who did something in the past, and we love to associate ourselves with such and such and such. So we go like, oh, don't you know my uncle? My uncle used to be the one who owns the mall. And as young men, as people growing up, we pride ourselves because of what our uncle did, without having the sense to rise up above that. But then we use people in such category. In fact, they have become our benchmark and our yardstick. And so long as I can get where my uncle got to, so long as I can do what my father did, then it means I'm okay in life. I came to speak to another generation. I came to speak to another group of people who will go beyond what their uncles did, who will do beyond what their fathers did, who are going to do mighty things this year, who are going to do great things this year, who are going to rise up. I will not live like the way people in my progeny lived. Everybody that came through were perceived to be something. I dare you to be exceptional this year. Break the mold. I said, break the mold. Tap somebody and say, break the mold. Come out of their thinking. You can make it with God. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what they think of you. You are making it. 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 In the name of Jesus, I prophesy that you too will travel. And you'll be the first person to travel with ease. You too will build your house this year, and you'll be the first person in the family to start building. You too will buy a new car, and you'll be the first person in your family to buy a car. Shout, I am exceptional. Oh my God, oh my God. I believe that we're going to have an exceptional year. It's going to be an exceptional year. Oh, come on. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Because when exceptional people gather together in exceptional church, you can only think of exceptional things. Let there be exceptional testimonies. Receive!
In the name.
Oh, I am a such now. We must understand that being exceptional is not in a vacuum. It's not just a rhetoric. It's not just a cliche. It's not just call and respond. I'm exceptional. Somebody say that my conscious reality. I believe that words are powerful. And sometimes you can create the things that be not by the things you say. But then the substance of the issue must actually be dealt with. Therefore, being exceptional doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go by and just call and respond. But being exceptional is understanding who you are and whose you are. Actually, to be able to understand who you are, you must understand your source. And to know your source is to know your redemption. You know that you are redeemed. And there's something I just placed here. I just want you to put down for your writing. He said that salvation we receive is the defining factor that makes us exceptional. The redemption we have, the grace of redemption is the defining factor. So you cannot just be exceptional in a vacuum. But your exceptionalism must be based on the fact that I am the redeemed. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And through his death, he separated me. He chose me. The Bible said that many were called, but few were chosen. He chose me from the crowd. He actually selected me when I didn't qualify, when I didn't merit. When the Bible says that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was just by grace. I had not to work for it. But he chose me out of the people. He divinely selected me and said that I lay my hands on you and I'm making you exceptional. The day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, that day God ushered you into an exceptional life. In Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 9 to verse number 12, Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 9 to verse number 12. They sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and has redeemed. And he has shout, I am redeemed. Whenever you are redeemed, you cannot be bought back. Because to be redeemed means that you were purchased. And once something has been paid for, nobody can come back and claim ownership. I am redeemed. Oh, somebody know that I am redeemed. Oh, come on, let me push this feather. Shout, I am redeemed. So the Bible says that thou was slain and has redeemed us. So you are separated. You are bought from a place, and not to be isolated, but to God, who is exceptional. Son, God is exceptional. God. And let's look at the things through whom we have been redeemed. He said, by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Some people go like, yet they are sanctified. The moment as a child of God you begin to accept that you'll be limited by a sanctified limitation. Oh, never pride yourself. Oh, never pride yourself. Every tribe in Ghana has a kind of spirit that is operating against. Are there people here? Never take it for granted. Those symbols they use, even on clowns, they have powerful negative effects. Not until you understand that I've redeemed the devil, I have come from that clan, that tribe, that people, and I've been made. Come on, continue. Let's finish this one. Verse number 10. He said that, and has made, and has made as what? God as what? As kings and priests and we, oh my God, exceptional people reign. Oh, come on, oh, come on, oh, come on. You are made unto God to reign. So you were just brought out of those places, the shackles of pain, chaos, confusion, and perplexities and worries. You have just brought out of marital delays and divorces and all kinds of things. The spirit that works against people in that family, God say that I have redeemed you. I have brought you out. I have delivered you. You are no more part of it. You may be of it, but you are not part of them. You may be living among them, but you are not part of them. Is it not so amazing that you may be found in certain quarters or certain people, but yet you are too different that you stand out of them? And I pray that somebody this year, you are standing out of that family. You are standing out of that tribe. You are standing out of that place where you live, where you come from. I declare in the name of Jesus that you are a self-sinner. I am a self-sinner. So redemption is what ushers us into the realm of exceptionalism. According to Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 7. Ephesians 1 verse number 7. Quickly. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. I have redemption. And how was the redemption packaged? Jesus had to use his blood as a means to get you out of any situation of ordinariness, any situation of commonness, any situation that made you as part of the status quo, any situation that made you your life like the tradition. Many of you are raised by traditions and cultures of our society. And for that matter, you are not able to live any different life apart from what you have been raised of. But this year you dare to be different. Amen. You know who you are. And you know whom he has redeemed. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And as you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you must know it and say it. He said that, let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy. Psalm 107, verse number 1 and 2. Them that he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy, and them that he has also, go to verse 2, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy, and then go back to verse number 3. Yes. And gather them out of the lands, and from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from their redeemed people here. Your redemption makes you exceptional. Shout, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Wow. Romans chapter number 8, verse number
29 says, therefore, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn. So to live the exceptional life is to be like Jesus. Come on, say to be like Jesus. Jesus lived the exceptional life. His life was too good, was too astounding. No evil was found with him. He knew who he was, and he walked in that direction. This year, if you know who you are and walk in that direction, your life will always see exceptional things. The Bible says that Jesus, out of the flesh, came from the lineage of David, but of the Spirit, according to the power of holiness, he was declared to be the Son of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that the grace of redemption will be strong over your life. You will come to know the things that God has redeemed you from and has made you to be different. If we are not seeing any difference in your life compared to the world, then I beg to differ. Then you are not exceptional. Exceptionalism is being different from the world and others. If your lifestyle, your attitude, the way you talk, the way you do things is almost the same like everybody, then you are not exceptional. Then you don't know that you are redeemed. But for everyone that knows that I am redeemed, knows that he is a king and he's a priest. And no king want to live anyhow. Because once you know that you are a king, you must walk as such. You must behave as such. You must act as such. Are there people here who believe that you are exceptional? Without trying to bore you this morning, because there's so much to share when it comes to exceptionalism, we must understand that life sometimes can be difficult, and there are times that you easily forget who you are, and sometimes you get so tired and so weak and so perplexed. And I believe as we stand here, many of us have fought many battles. Ever since you started life, it has been one battle unto another. One battle unto another. And sometimes the things you go through makes you think that you are different from what you really are. The other day somebody told me that, Pastor, had it not been the little blessings that I'm enjoying, I wouldn't believe that God loves me. But even in my difficult moments, sometimes I see the hand of God. And that makes me believe that God is still with me. Do you know that the things you go through sometimes makes you deny your source and the one who has made you to be exceptional? We fight battles, and it looks like we are almost giving up in life. As we stand here, there are people, even though it's a new year, they have new hopes and new expectations, but yet they feel tired because they fought so much. They fought too much battles. Battles of divorces, battles of financial difficulties, battles of career, battles to make it in life, battles. Somebody say battle. Sometimes we forget that we were the ones that God had to use to do mighty things. We come so strong at a certain point in our lives when God was using us so mightily. But yet, when you get so weak and tired, and there is no hope for tomorrow, when you feel like all hope is gone, then God wants to remind you, it's time to rise up again. It's time to rise up again. The battle is not over until it's over. Yes, you may feel weak. That is acceptable. But never remain weak. You may feel tired. That is acceptable. But never remain tired. Somebody needs what it takes to move to the next level of your life. God wants to remind somebody that you are too much. You are too much. I'm not finished with you. This is going to be your greatest year. Rise up to the challenge. Don't allow past glories to put you in the crescendos of your future. Don't allow the things you used to do make you feel that it's all well. After all, I did this last year and I did that last year. If this year nothing happens, it is time. God say that I've made you to be exceptional. How? Through my blood. And in the same way, I'm going to remind you this morning. Coming to the Lord's table is a reminder of your redemptive package. What God did for you many years ago. Today, God wants to remind somebody, you may feel weak, you may feel tired, but yet the journey is long. Therefore, rise up and eat. So is the story of a man called Exceptional Elijah. Elijah was exceptional. For all the Old Testament prophets, there was no one like Elijah. Shout Elijah. Yeah. A man who could command the heavens never to give rain. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. When he himself realized that, no, I feel the the Bible said that God obeyed the heavens and there was rain. I'm here to see prophet in our day to command never to rain for 3 years in Ghana. That would tell me that they are true prophets. I don't want to go there. But we must understand this, that Elijah was not an ordinary prophet. He was an exceptional. Remember that in the land, those were the days where the people has resorted to pagan worship. In the land of Israel, the place where God has dedicated as a worship unto himself. Now they have gone apostasy. They have gone worshiping idols. And they've gone worshiping Baals. And they've gone worshiping all kinds of things. And Elijah was proclaiming the good news, telling them all the good things. That he said, no. We are not going to oblige. We don't know your God. So among the prophets of the day, Elijah stood out and said, okay, if this is what you're saying, then I want us to create a context. I want us, each one of you, should raising an altar and pray to your God to bring fire to consume the altars. If your God is able to bring fire to consume the altar, then your God will be the God of Israel. And after you are done, I'll also do mine. And if my God is able to bring fire to consume the altar, then my God will be your God. Exceptional people always throw challenges. They don't run away from challenges. I pray that this year may you never run away from challenges. There is no difficulty too hard. There's no mountain too tall. There's no valley too low. There is no wall too big like Jericho that you cannot go around. He threw a challenge. I told you the other day that anytime that exceptional people meet with ordinary people, there is always a conflict. Don't dwell among them. Don't think the way they think. Let me tell you, challenges would always be with us. Difficulties will always, come on, follow me. Challenges will always, if you are here and you don't expect challenge, then you are not expecting promotion. If you are not expecting challenge, then you are not expecting to move forward. The fact that things challenge you doesn't mean that you must not move forward. But God is giving you the strength, the resilience, the abilities, and the capacities not to run away, but to walk over them. And I see you, Ayatobataha. I see you coming out and walking over every challenge in your life. So you will turn back and look at the challenge and say, ah, me na me krono. No challenge has the capacity to stop you. It is your attitude that stops you. I dare you to have exceptional spirit. Exceptional people always stand for God. They stand for God. And they want the power of God to be seen. Elijah was an exceptional prophet. The Bible makes it clear that they began to enchant. I'm talking about the Baal prophets. They began to enchant, enchant Asia, enchant Asia. They did all the crow. They started from the morning. And they enchanted out to close of the day. Hush! Nothing happened. Somebody look at me and say, nothing happened. The exceptional God would always create an exceptional opportunity for you to be exceptional among the Lord. I pray for opportunity to make the exceptional God great in your life. I think some people think I'm talking too much, but I'm speaking the word of God here. I pray that there will be an exceptional opportunity for you to make your God exceptional. In the name of Jesus, receive that exceptional opportunity. So Elijah said, now come all of you. The Bible says he raised an altar with 12 stones. And then he told them, look, pour water. That presupposes that these people are smart. Their minds are too ordinary. They think too low. So it's possible they would think that I have hidden some fire. See how ordinary people think. They are too naive. Is somebody here? And their mind is too diabolic. If you are with people and among you are dreambonia, it means they are ordinary. All that they think is you are doing something bad. They always think evil about people. Ordinary mindset. So Elijah said, okay, I know you guys. Come pour more water on the altar. So that if there is any fire hidden somewhere, it will quench. Praise God. And without boring you with the story, the Bible makes it clear that Elijah knelt before God and he prayed. The moment the prayer ended, then fire came to consume the altar. Wow. What exceptional God. What an exceptional God. Exceptional people always create exceptional opportunity for the exceptional God to be glorified. Come on, drop it there. Listen. And the moment the fire came to consume the place, then the people started running. Say, hey, nobody there ran away. I'm going to kill all of you. And you can imagine more than 50 big prophets. One man, single-handedly. And I wonder, because now power is at work. Do you understand? Because for him to pray for fire, you dare not run away. The fire will catch up on you. Okay. Anyone who want to do you bad and think I'm God's cause free, may the fire of God this year catch up on that. In the name of Jesus Christ. And a person who wants to kind of dupe or maneuver his way to steal from you or do you harm, before they say Jack, may the fire of God consume them. Your army is weak. So, hey, you dare not run away. This is what happened. Each one, everybody look at me. Shake somebody and say, don't sleep. Each one will come with a hair. Ding. Come, come and let me demonstrate. Come, come. Mr. Santi, come. Come, come. Come, do this. Ding. Edda, come, 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 come. There you go. Come. Talk. Bash. Come. Hey. Namungu. Oh, my man. Praise God. He single-handedly killed all of them. Wow. What an exceptional man. I know that in 2018, God used you to kill some enemies. You won some battles. The reason why I know you won some battles is that you are still here. If you had lost the battle, you wouldn't be sitting here. Are there people here? Wow. I won. So, after killing all these prophets, Konya and Abri, he was so tired and so weak. Immediately, a word was sent to Jezebel. Jezebel was a powerful queen at that time. The husband was Ahab. The moment Jezebel heard what Elijah has done to her prophet, beloved, she didn't come by herself. She just wrote a letter. Say a letter. See how powerful written codes are. And that is for another message. Anything that is written against you can harm you. Don't joke with it. That's why when you go and the doctors give you a bad report, they write it. When you go to court and there's a verdict, they write. Anything that can harm you is that which is written. Jezebel wrote that you, I will do to you the same thing you have done to my prophets. The moment Elijah got the letter, his heart eradimewo. One man, just a letter from a woman is making you scared. Exceptionalism. Sometimes the battles we go through, the things we face, makes us lose our identity and who we are. He was just running away. Some of you, that makes women powerful. Let me say it. Women, you are powerful. Clap for yourself. And I pray we have exceptional women in this house. Oh, come on. If you are an exceptional woman, shout out! A whole woman could let Elijah, the greatest exceptional prophet, run in after his heels. The Bible says that he was so tired. Nothing else to be done. Lord, I have done all this for you. Why should this happen to me? I have toiled, I have suffered, I have done all this. Oh God, is that the way you want to bring me? Are you going to leave me to the hands of this wicked woman? The Bible says that as he was running away, he just found a tree. He said, I can't even run anymore. Some of you, once you lose your identity, you begin to run after your life. We don't need to run, but we need to face the devil and tell them who we are. We are exceptional. No amount of difficulties, no amount of threats will stand in our life. I want people this year to stand with me and to defy every threatenings of the devil, threatenings of sicknesses, threatenings of pain, threatenings of poverty, threatenings of anxiety, threatenings of chaos, threatenings of confusion, marital breaks, threatenings of failure, threatenings of stagnation. I refuse to be threatened. I refuse to be threatened. You can't threaten me. So as Elijah went to sleep by the tree called the juniper tree, that is for another time. The Bible says in verse number, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servants there. It's so amazing. Can it be possible that you can get so frustrated that you leave your children behind? You leave your people behind. So is the situation. Verse number 4. Then the Bible says that, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Wow. Do you feel that sometimes you want to give up? Have you gotten there before? Meanwhile, you are made exceptional. You feel that, Charlie, I feel my breath. I'm a near the door, so to do. Or how not to tell me to do. You've forgotten who you are. Elijah came to a point when he felt that I've had enough. This year, even though the year is starting, you still feel you have had enough of. The battles are too much. How do I look forward and make it to where God wants me to be? The Bible says that whilst he was contemplating, he said, verse number 5, as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel of the Lord. Tell somebody, an angel of the Lord. Come on, tap another person, say, an angel of the Lord. Another person, and say, the angel of the Lord. This morning, do you know God is sending an angel to you? And that angel is right before you. In the book of Revelation, when talked about the angel of the church, he was talking about the pastor of the church. I came with the word of God to encourage you. The Bible says he touched him. He touched him and said unto him, rise up and eat. This morning, are you weak in life? Are you almost giving up? Do you need the strength to carry on? Do you feel you are losing your sense of value and who you are? Are you disconnected from your source? An angel of the Lord came to him and touched him and said, rise up and eat, for the journey is long. Somebody needs that thing, that strength to carry on to where God wants you to be. He touched him and said, rise up and eat. Not once, but twice. Go to verse number 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking. And a cruise of water at his hand. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. Then another one came. Go on. The angel came again. You are too important to God to lose you. Oh, come on. Only few people understand this. If you know the cost and the things that have gone into your making to be exceptional, then you will know that you are too important for God to lose you. Shout, I am too important. Can't just die. Do you know why you survived everything you have to go through? You are too important. Because the very things that happened to you happened to others, and yet they lost it. So why did you make it? I am exceptional. Everything happened to everybody, but I am exceptional. So the Bible said that for the second time, the angel of the Lord came and gave him another dose and said, rise up and walk. Now this time he said, the journey is too great. If you want to live through 2019 with your physical strength, with your so-called mindset or knowledge or understanding or your self-righteousness, if you want to go through this life with the connections and the people you know, I want you to know you will fail. Because the journey is too great than your physical or your natural ability. If you think that it is be based on your qualification or how much hard you can work, think, Pastor, me, I'm a hard worker. I want you to know that the journey is too great. Never take it for granted. It looks like yesterday when we were in 2018. But the things that we have been through is like 100 years. Can I have a witness here? Yeah. So, God knew that Elijah was not done yet. There were more things he needed to do. Greater things ahead of him. And therefore, he needed to be sustained, strengthened, and empowered in order to make it to the end of his journey. I pray in the name of Jesus, may you make it to the end of your journey. May you make it to the 31st of this year in the name of Jesus. Though the journey is great, for you, you will make it big. Oh, look at you. I said you will make it big. I wish I'm talking to believers here. I wish I'm not just speaking to ordinary people, but I'm speaking to exceptional people. Let exceptional people shout hallelujah. The journey is great. The journey of life cannot be lived with natural abilities. Let me tell you something. In my short life, as at now, I have come to understand that it is not of him that will it, nor of him that run it, but it is God that showeth mercy. Let me tell you something. The people you see around, the people you grew up with, see how their lives have been and see where God has positioned you. Some of them were better in school than you were, but yet God has placed you higher. Some have all that they needed. I always tell you that how we were growing up, we were actually poor. In fact, I got to know that we were poor. Because if you compare, we compare ourselves with other neighbors, those in the neighborhood, and at this time their fathers were riding good cars and all that. And you look at their houses like a custom. A mansion. And you are living in a two-bedroom, I mean, sometimes single room with all your siblings and your... But when I was growing up and mercy found me and grace located me, I realized that the blessing that God is blessing me is nothing compared to what I saw. Are there people here? So you realize that life is not how much hard you work, but who you are. That makes you life exceptional. Are there people here? This morning, the Lord's communion represents the drink and the big bread that God sent his angel to give to Elijah to remind him that he is exceptional and no amount of threat can kill him or can destroy him. I don't know what is threatening you. The greatest fear is the fear of the unknown. When you don't know what comes tomorrow. Nobody knows what is going to happen in next month, the following month. Nobody knows what is in store for you. But I told you from the beginning that we serve a God, exceptional God, who knows tomorrow. When you entrust your life into his hands, he takes care of you. And he watches you and guides you and leads you in the path of righteousness. He sustains you when you are weak. When you are tired, he gets you up. And he flies you on an eagle's wing. This morning, this is not just any means. It's not a tradition. No, it is a ritual. This is that which will take for you to make this year's journey great. It is the power of God. From the day Elijah ate it, the next verse, verse number 8, go back to the next verse, he said, and then he rose and did eat and went in the strength. In what? Come on, push it for me. In the heart. How many of you need strength to push it this year? You need strength to move to the next level this year. He went in the strength of the meat. How many days? And what? Do you know what it means? He walked. He didn't take a car, nor horse. He had to walk. At the time, Elijah was old, but he walked for 40 days. That reminds me of our 40-day journey that is starting tomorrow. Is somebody here with me? You will not walk only 40 days. You will walk in the strength of the power of God. 365 days this year. Oh, come on, that is weak. I thought somebody's responding better. You walk 365 days. I said you walk 365 days. And there, exceptional people, shout yeah!
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.